So let's return to our top story now. We've spent some time looking at the Obama housing plan. We want to zero in now on the loan modification aspect of it. What exactly is a modifying loan? Because large banks in the United States say that more than half of the loans they modify end up delinquent anyway. Vikas Bajaj wrote about this for our partner, the New York Times, in today's paper, and he joins us now in the studio. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
So break down this aspect for us, the refinancing portion of this plan. This is supposed to help something like 4 to 5 million people. What exactly is a modifying loan? It's a pretty kind of confusing term.
Sure. It's a sort of a euphemism for basically getting a new deal. You went in when you first got your loan, and you got a certain interest rate, you got a certain monthly payment, maybe there's an adjustable rate feature to your loan, and something happens, as things tend to happen in life. You lose a job, your wife falls sick, and you need a new deal because you can't afford what you have. And, you know, lo and behold, there's this process that you can go through and get your loan modified. Now, the problem has been that historically, banks haven't had to modify very many loans. When housing prices were going up, you could have always refinanced, or you could have sold a house for more than you paid for it, and you could get out of your predicament. But now, most people can't do that.
Okay, I want to come back to that part about the banks in a moment, but let's just sort of go a little deeper into this. What exactly are the options that are available to people who are struggling with their mortgages, who are on the verge of thinking that they're going to default? How does this plan help them?
Sure. You know, this plan tries to encourage the banks to do more modifications and do the modifications in which the bank will actually lower the monthly payment of the borrower. What has been happening is that banks have been doing modifications, but they haven't really been lowering people's payments. What they do is they'll take the past due amount and add it to the balance of the loan. So they might reduce the interest rate, which is a good thing, provide some relief.
So your monthly payments don't necessarily come down.
Yes, exactly.
So then why is it called loan modification?
Because they did change the term of the loan, technically. One of the families that we talked to went from a 6.5% interest rate to a 6.1% interest rate. But when you add in all the money that the person had owed and fell behind on and the late fees, all of that was added to the balance. That essentially meant the person wasn't really paying anything less.
Sounds like a mathematical trick.
So you're left feeling trapped. I mean, these are people that 4 to 5 million people that need help could potentially be feeling trapped right now.
There's a lot of people who feel very frustrated by this process. This process has been going on for 2 years. I'm sure you guys remember when George Bush and Hank Paulson were talking about this, and there's been a lot of efforts to try and modify these loans, but most of them have not worked that well.
Well, let's look at the structure of that, though. I mean, I've heard, and it seems to be sort of the prevailing conventional wisdom slash wrong, maybe, that there's a financial interest for the banks to keep the loans going, not to have to write these things down. But in real terms, is there also maybe even more of a financial incentive to foreclose for some of these banks?
It depends on where you sit within the financial industry. It's certainly what you're saying is completely true, that, you know, if I hold the loan and I made it to you and you were having problems, it's not just your problem. It's my problem, too, because I'd rather get something out of this than nothing. Because I know if I go to foreclose on your house, I'm going to get a lot less than I'm owed. So it behooves me to cut you a better deal. The problem is that most loans are not held by banks. The banks only service them on behalf of investors in mortgage-backed securities. And so
does the plan tackle that aspect of why these loans are handled so differently? Everybody, it seems,
sure,
could potentially have their own rules.
Yeah, that's one of the problems that the plan attempts to tackle. It does so by essentially subsidizing the loan modification. So it says, if you get the borrower to X point, we'll help you get him to an even lower point by subsidizing that mortgage. And furthermore, if home prices decline even more than we anticipate they will, the government will shoulder some of that loss with you in the future.
And you spoke with a couple of people when you were writing your piece for the New York Times who seem to have very different kind of experiences. Just talk about that a little bit. Give us some insight into what
Sure.
they told you.
So one borrower I talked to dealt with a smaller loan company. called Ocwen Financial. And, you know, she is elderly, but not old. She's got breast cancer, back problems. She had been relying on her brother to pay her utilities, which allowed her to stay in this home. Her brother's wife fell sick. And so he couldn't help her anymore. She went to the company and said, look, I have this problem. She wrote a hardship letter. The company reduced her interest rate from almost 9% to less than 6%. And that dropped her monthly payments by about $125, which may not sound like a lot, but it's 11% of her total payment.
Does that depend on the relationship that she had with the bank, the size of the bank? What factors affected that?
It really came down to the fact that there's two mortgage companies that have been doing the most aggressive modifications. One is Ocwen, the other one is Lytton Loan Servicing. And these two companies are sort of specialists in high-cost loans, in what we call subprime loans. They've been doing this for several decades. They're also under a little bit more financial pressure to deal with these loans than perhaps a larger bank would be. And so they've taken an approach that we need to do whatever we can to maximize the value of this loan. They're acting more like the portfolio lenders you would have seen, you know, the kind of banker you would have seen in The Wonderful Life. It's kind of like in that approach.
Right. And the other person that you spoke to was dealing with a bigger bank, a larger bank?
Yeah. My reporting partner, John Leland, spoke to this family that has their loan being serviced through Wells Fargo. And this family's had sort of several things happen to them. The wife had to stop working as much. Their taxes went up. Their insurance premiums went up, all in Florida. And they got a lower interest rate. But with the past due amount, they end up paying just about the same.
All right, Vikas Bajaj, thank you very much.
Thank you, Vikas. So we're thinking all day about this, the financial crisis, and what it means for homeowners, but also what Attorney General Eric Holder said. When it comes to race, America is a nation of cowards. What have you seen in your life that proves him right or wrong? Stories at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org. You can take our podcast to go, find out the details that Vikas was just talking about by subscribing at thetakeaway.org. And while you're there, we need your help. The stimulus bill is law, and we need your eyes and ears on the ground to help us investigate where the money is going. If you don't think the projects that have been selected are appropriate, where should it go instead?
This is Kelly from Edmond, Oklahoma. We have one of the worst walk-in areas in the country. I think the stimulus package could be used here to develop some kind of transportation system and better sidewalks and pathways.
Look for the crowdsourcing link at thetakeaway.org and take part in our project. I'm John Hockenberry.
And I'm Daljit Dhaliwal.
This is The Takeaway.